May God open our hearts and our minds that we may hear and respond to his word to us today. Amen. Please be seated. Good morning again, and again I say my name is Simon Quayle, for those who didn't hear it, and I am a reader from the distant-flung parish of Rudgwick, right on the corner next to the Diocese of Guildford. It's very good to be with you. And my sermon today is entitled, Called to Be, ... Now, these three passages we have heard today contain messages of joy and of challenge, of good news and a call to action. The context of Isaiah is the joy to come for the people of Israel when they return from captivity in Babylon, whence they've been dragged in about 600 BC by the invading Babylonians, and of their joy being the prophecy of being led back to joy and peace to go to Jerusalem, the temple where for them God dwells, a very special moment in the time of the people of Israel. So Israel's return from Babylon to Jerusalem is a metaphor for our return from our life on earth here when we are called home to God in heaven. Verse 11 assures us that God's word will accomplish his will. And so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose. For you shall go out in joy and be led back in peace. Through the power of the word of God, not only the people of Israel, but we too shall know God's peace and his joy. This is made clear to us in a passage from Romans chapter 8, 11. The second message of joy. As Christians, we know that the Spirit of God dwells in us. He who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your bodies. Verse 11. Everlasting life. We rejoice in this message, this good news. And so we have a powerful message. Good news, God's promise of joy, peace, and everlasting life with God in heaven. Great blessings. But then comes the challenge in Matthew. Imagine the scene. Imagine you are there on a hot, dusty morning trying to hear the words of Jesus and the crowds all around you and failing. And suddenly, almost as if Jesus had heard your thought, he gets into a boat, pushes out from the water, and speaks again, and clearly across the flat calm water you can now hear, because the sound is transmitted across water better than air, and the cliffs behind you bounce the sound back into you. That witness statement was read by me in the Church Times recently by a pilgrim who had gone to this place, and the guide had gone out in a boat, read that passage to him, and he could hear perfectly. But we can hear perfectly today. So what do we hear? Those who hear the proclamation of the kingdom of God receive the seed in the good soil of our soul and understand its meaning, respond to that message of love, of joy. Like parents or friends who give me love, I can't help but respond in love, and so we do. We want to do something in return, to acknowledge the great gifts, in this case from God, to bear good fruit. And what a bountiful harvest is promised by Jesus to those who hear his word, understand it, bear fruit by doing good. Other seed fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Let anyone with ears listen. An extraordinary yield, 100-fold. Now that's what I call a fruitful harvest. Others, however, produce less. And thus, it is acknowledged that all have different gifts. We're all different, but all able to offer something to God to join in his mission to the world. Jesus uses significant phrase, 100-fold, six chapters later in Matthew 19. Those who follow Jesus' way will receive 100-fold. That is everlasting life. Those who give freely of what they have, freely receive of God's generosity. So how do we respond to that challenge? we can be called to do so many different things. Now, in the list that I'm going to read later, I'm aware that many of you do these things already. But I'm convinced it doesn't hurt to do a little kind of spiritual audit, or an audit about where we are in doing what we do in response to God's love for us, and to check that we're doing not just all that we can, but doing what is right for us now at this stage of our life. For example, we can take every opportunity offered through us our work. If we work through in the caring professions for teaching and nursing, and obvious examples, but we can also be creating wealth to share with others for the common good, to use Paul's phrase from Corinthians. Through offering those important words of praise and encouragement to others and build them up. Are you being called to a particular ministry in the church, perhaps lay or ordained? Maybe it's time to explore these options through taking Bible classes at a place we are now at, discovering discipleship courses put on by the diocese, the pilgrim course put on by this church, alpha theological courses at various levels, a good book on Christian faith, and importantly, making prayer time. Just as in our working life when we have to study to learn our trade or profession, then equally when we are responding to the call expressed in today's readings to be part of the mission of God, to learn about our faith, is to be better informed Christians, better disciples, better witnesses in our work, in our family life, and in our community life. So today, if you feel an insistent call that's been nagging at the back of your mind for something to do more in your Christian journey, to share the good news of the gospel with others, but somehow feel uncertain of where to go or how to do it, allow me to paint a possible picture for some of you. I'm a reader. What's a reader? What does he do other than wear a pretty blue scarf? So this morning I've been asked to shed a little light on this mystery, this ministry, as a mystery as well. Reader ministry was revived 148 years ago in 1866. So for the last 150 years, reader ministry has been one of the great success stories of the Church of England. There are over 10,000 readers across the nation, 255 of them ministering here in the Diocese of Chichester. So what's a reader? Here's a good definition from the website. Readers are lay people in the Church of England from all walks of life who are called by God, theologically trained and licensed by the Church to preach, teach, lead worship and assist in pastoral evangelistic talking about our faith, that is, and liturgical work, services, etc. Readers are lay theologians, by which is meant a ministry of the word, to engage people in a conversation about God, to lead them to Christ so that they may become disciples also, to equip them to share the good news of God's kingdom. So how does that work out in practice? I want to give you a few examples from the Reader magazine that I read. There's copies of them at the back for you to take away afterwards. A reader in our diocese conducts about 50 or 60 funerals a year through their ministry as a chaplain, working in a hospice. Through their regular visits to the hospice, they care for families at a critical time. There are other chaplaincies in prisons, universities, schools. I brought an article I found in the Church Times, which the author is very passionate about, the need for chaplains in schools and that vital ministry. The reader is in a position of being of the laity, not of the clergy, where they can help create that vital bridge between the world outside and the world in here, if you like, of organized churchmanship. Not everybody's into that. There are readers who lead services for Messy Church, Cafe Church, Fresh Expression Churches, reaching out into those new communities. One's a pioneer minister who works alongside where people live. Readers are needed in parish churches all over the diocese, rural and urban, preaching leading services, supporting incumbents, freeing them up so they can use their skill sets in creative ways. No pressure there. Another talks movingly of their unexpected calling to be a reader due to job changes. They had moved from being a computer geek to one who was able to explain things to the uninitiated. They suddenly realized they could do that clearly. Then they had an opportunity to work for Gideon's, distributing Bibles and talking about their faith in a way they never believed it was possible that they could have done. Experience led them on. It's surprising how a parish away day, time at Greenbelt, new wine, or convention can suddenly make us aware of God's gentle but insistent calling deep inside us. That's what happened to me. At a parish away day, there was a prayerful time of reflection during which I discussed with my vicar the strange notion I had of responding to the call to read a ministry. Tragedy has a way of making one face up to the reality of God. I had to decide whether to go in deeper or whether to give up on him altogether. Following a disciplined course of study was my way of forcing myself to engage more deeply. It was engage or run away. I was encouraged to take the Following Jesus course, which lasted a year. It was an excellent introduction to focusing my thoughts on the possibility of lay ministry, following much prayer and advice. I took and attended a selection conference for reader training. This vital process took away my concerns for my worthiness or suitability for reader ministry. This decision is taken by others, and that I found very releasing. Now, we all go through patches when our faith is dry, rocky times, materialistic thorns choke our spiritual life. Good soil is prepared through a life of prayer, of study, not only of the Bible, but of some book of faith or academic study of theology. And it's good to check if in our lives the seed of God's word is bearing fruit in the way that you, I, live for others, in our work, in our family life, in our community. And if the answer to those questions is yes, 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 I do all those things, well, it's good. We could all, though, do with a spiritual audit of how we engage in the world, how our lives are fruitful. So a final encouragement for you. I've been reading a really good book by Dave Tomlinson, the vicar of St. Luke's Holloway, in a paragraph about our need to contribute to the world, to the common good, if you like. He says this: no one wants to be a passenger or a consumer. We have a deep need to be contributors, to add something of worth to the world. But all too often, we have bought into the mistaken idea that just a few chosen ones are the real contributors, people with some kind of vocation or calling, while the rest of us just simply look on. The truth is that every single person has a vocation, a unique contribution to make to the enrichment of the world. Now, if you're interested in getting further information, Karen Ind and I, a fellow reader, will be happy to talk to you at the back of the church by the font when I've got some material. So let's close with a prayer. Lord, give us wisdom to discern and courage to answer your call. Send your Holy Spirit to inspire us, to guide us, and to strengthen our faith in action. Help us to set apart time in prayer so that we may truly discern our path in life as we seek to follow the way of Christ that leads to eternal life. Amen.